Sound of Hockey episode 246. We're calling this one the Cam York episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Cam York, I have a soft spot for Cam York. He was drafted in the 2019 NHL entry draft, the one that we covered up in Vancouver.
Right.
He's from California.
Which you love a good California-born player.
No doubt. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think he went to Shattuck for a bit.
And I love a good player that has any tie to the state of Minnesota. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, he just signed his second deal with the Philadelphia Flyers over the last couple of days. So he's a good defenseman, played at Michigan. Mm-hmm. More Michigan talk.
Okay, I like him less.
Well, somebody wanted more Michigan talk, so yeah, we've got to tie that in.
Right.
He's fun. I'm hoping he's a really good player, but anyway, I've always got a soft spot for him, and I'm always keeping an eye on him.
Well, good. Good for you. Good for Cam York.
Our Michigan fan.
Yeah, this is Sound of Hockey. I'm Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And make sure to also follow us at sound_hockey on the Twitter. And what are we on Threads?
I think we're just Sound of Hockey,
okay.
All one.
Yep, Threads. The funny thing is we made that comment last week, or I made the comment about like, man, I wish we had another place. And then I swear it was like a few hours later, all of a sudden everybody on Twitter was like, we're on Threads now, check us out, you know? And we're kind of, well, let's catch the wave here. Not sure if we're,
not too active.
Yeah, not too active
still,
just yet.
I don't have the patience for it just yet.
Yeah.
So it needs to get cleaned up a bit.
It's not totally a perfect product just yet.
No.
But, you know, heading there. Still follow us on Twitter and follow us on Threads, and then eventually we'll get really active on there when it gets a little better. And then you'll be an early adopter. quick shout out to Bryce Wainio. He wrote a really nice message to us. He said, hey, intern, now that we are in a little lull for the NHL, just wanted to thank you guys for everything you do. You guys are truly the best when it comes to covering the crack and listening to the podcast and following along on social media has made me such a more knowledgeable fan and made me fall more in love with crack and hockey. So once again, thank you.
Gotta love that.
Yep.
That pulls at my heartstrings, if you will, because that's really what it's all about.
Right. And, you know, we're totally neutral on this podcast, obviously. We're not biased towards the Kraken at all.
No, certainly not me.
So that's interesting that we're causing you to fall more in love with the Kraken, because that's not my mission.
I'm just
delivering the news with an unbiased level head. So also shout out to Tyler Olson, who's one of our followers, who's been he checked in with me at the Kraken development camp. Super nice guy. He introduced himself. So
I want to do a throw out.
Okay.
Or a
shout out. A throw out. Yeah, throw out.
Throw out.
I don't want to throw out. Means they're no longer welcome.
Yeah, no, it's a shout out.
Okay.
To referee Bob,
who
I talked to after the game. I wanted to get clarification on a rule.
Which game are we talking about?
A game I played.
Okay.
Sorry. And he's ref for like 15 years in my games, I swear, that long. And I've played against him over the years, so I've known him a long time. And we had a little chat. He's like, yeah, my son got me onto the Sound of Hockey, and I've been listening to for the playoffs ever since. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, because I didn't know. So,
now there's probably a bias there for your games, don't you think? If he's listening to the podcast, talk about a throwout. You're going to be thrown out now. Maybe it's the other way around. I don't know.
He's pretty straight ref all the time.
So. Straightforward, well, that's good, though. And that's what you want in a ref, right? You want to know what you're getting. So, referee Bob, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting.
Thank you.
Okay, we didn't think we'd have much content for this one, so we threw out the old mailbag flair, and as always, our listeners came through, so we have quite a few mailbag questions that we'll go through in a bit, which I'm sure will be sort of the bulk of the episode. If I had to guess, it would still be a relatively short episode, wouldn't you think? Considering we didn't do an interview this week, and it's...
Whenever we say that, you know it never works out.
Yeah, I guess. So. I guess that's true. We'll see how it goes.
We're not time constrained tonight.
No, we never are, except for the last 2 weeks. But we'll start with Kraken news because that's just kind of what we do. There were a few signings this past week made by the Kraken. One of those of the free agent variety, the other three of players returning to the Kraken variety. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare gets signed as a free agent. 1 year, $775,000 is his contract. What are we getting from Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, John?
Not a lot of goal scoring.
Okay. And that's kind of been the MO throughout his career. That's not like because he's 38 years old, so you wonder like, oh, is it tapered off? No, he's just not a goal scorer.
He's never really scored,
right.
But he is another left shot center, pretty typical fourth line center. And one thing that pops out, and I don't know if this is deliberate or not, but his faceoff percentage is better than 50%,
mm-hmm.
which is an area the Kraken kind of need some help.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kind of the intent around it. He's a pretty good player, but he's not going to pitch in too much. He's excellent for a fourth line center and can kill penalties. So one of those depth pieces. And I think we've been talking about they probably need a center unless they're really confident Shane Wright can slot into the fourth line. And should he be playing a fourth line center role anyway? So I don't know if that's insurance or if that's the plan going forward. Also kind of throws a loop for John Hayden, who I think had a kind of outside shot of getting that fourth center position. But we'll have to see how it goes. Right now there's some competition, and we can talk about that a little bit later, maybe future podcasts, about what the lineup looks like and what the battles will be during training camp. But another center, and I think they needed him.
Yeah, and I don't think him joining the team precludes anyone from making it, a Shane Wright or a John Hayden or whomever you think might be the fourth line center for the Kraken. But I do think it's a pretty reliable person to bring in. It was interesting to me to see that he did play 73 games for the Lightning this past year. So even though he's 37 years old, he obviously played a significant role for a very good team. But he was cut loose by them. The Kraken brought him in. To your point, never a big point guy, but he's had a 9-year career across Philadelphia, Vegas, Colorado, and most recently Tampa Bay. So he's your newest Seattle Kraken.
And he's the famous guy who had his dreams crushed about not playing on a lake.
Which what was the context on that? They were playing their outdoor game.
They were playing the outdoor game during the COVID impacted season.
Yep.
And he was up there with Burakovsky and
at the podium.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I've never played on a lake before." Burakovsky's going like, "Hey, bro, we're not playing on a lake."
Next
he's like,
to
what?
Lake.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole clip, and he's like, "Oh, you crushed my dreams."
That's pretty awesome. He is actually French-born, which people hear a name like Pierre-Édouard Belmar, you might assume he's French-Canadian, but no, he's actually French, like the country of France.
Yeah.
And like the Coneheads. Coneheads are from France. So.
Yeah.
So Cole Lind, he is re-signed now, 1-year two-way deal, which he's not giving himself any guarantees that he's going to make the NHL with this contract by any means, but he is certainly going to be in that mix, I think, for one of the last spots on the team. He had a fantastic season this year with the AHL Coachella Valley Firebirds, 30 goals, 32 assists in the regular season, and then 9 goals and 22 assists in the playoffs. Obviously a friend of the pod, so we're big fans. Funny dude, 24 years old, so still some upside there. He did not go to arbitration, or not elect for arbitration, I should say. But I think the benefit for him here, and he must have been comfortable with where negotiations were heading, that he didn't elect for it. But I think the benefit for him is that his minor league salary now goes up to $325,000 versus previously, I think it was like $150,000, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. So he's guaranteed a much better salary than he made this past year. So good on him. I think that's a nice step for him.
He's going to be one of those interesting ones to watch
kind
of as the training camp closes out and they get ready for the regular season, because he's kind of in that last spot. So and he could get claimed too.
He could get claimed. He requires waivers to get to Coachella Valley if they don't decide to keep him. But I mean, I do think that by him being on a two-way deal also does probably make it a little bit more, would you think, a little bit more likely that they send him to Coachella Valley because he gets paid less in Coachella?
It's certainly more likely, but the fact that he's on a minimum deal, I think he could get claimed too. So.
Yeah, we will see what happens with him. Will Borgen back, 2 years, one-way deal, and pretty good payday for him, which goes against what you said last week.
That's not correct. Okay. I said he did not have a case in arbitration.
And why did you think that? Why wouldn't he have a case?
Because he doesn't put up a lot of points.
Sure. And you think, that's right. And you think it's all about points in arbitration.
Well, it is. I've been told that. And believe it or not, plus minus. So I think what the key is, this is a 2-year deal where the arbitration could be 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have got less. So that would mean he goes right to unrestricted free agency next season. So the Kraken probably increase the amount, the AAV, if you will, to get an extra year and lock him in, and because next year salary should go up. So if he kind of breaks out offensively, and I believe he is capable of it, I'm not expecting it, but I think he's got more offensive upside than he showed last year. That could look like a bargain, actually.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he does everything pretty well. He's a good skater. He's really physical. He's completely fearless, absolute animal out there. But yeah, I mean, his AAV goes up literally 3x from what he was making this past year. He was making 900K. Now he's at 2.7 million. So nice little payday for him. I'm really happy for,
I'm
him.
I'm happy
for him. It's pretty cool to see that. So he's going to be doing well financially all of a sudden. So so good for him. But yeah, he played all 82 games and all 14 playoff games for the Kraken this year. So nice little find there for the Kraken too in the expansion draft, right? He was a guy that I think nobody had really heard much about. He had kind of played a few games the season before for the Buffalo Sabres. And that was one of those, I think, when they announced Will Borgen at the expansion draft. It was like, huh? Like, who's that? Who's Will Borgen? Yeah. And yeah, and then he pretty much watched most of the season in the inaugural year in the press box and finally gets his chance. And they say, you know what? We're going to rely on Will Borgen in season two. And he did a great job. So pretty cool.
Speaking of sitting in the press box.
Mm-hmm. Our next signing. Okay, that was good. Cale Fleury, the master of the press box from this past season.
Friend of the pod, too.
Friend of the pod. Yeah, both these guys. Well, not Will Borgen. He hasn't been on. But Cole Lind, Cale Fleury have been on the podcast. For him, it's 2-year, one-way deal, so that's nice that he's got some contract security, and you know, even if they send him down, he still makes his NHL contract. He's still only 24 years old. This past season, he only ended up getting into 12 games, which is not ideal for a still relatively young defenseman who just hasn't gotten much of an opportunity to play anywhere because of his situation. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what happens with him, you know, but he's re-upped now with the Kraken organization for 2 years. So he must not, I mean, I don't know. You would think if he was like upset that he sat in the press box all season, that maybe he would want to only take a 1 year deal or, you know
what I mean? Well, I think maybe takes a 1 year deal, but they could have given him a 2-way deal as well.
Yeah.
So, now he's got a little bit financial security for, at least for the next 2 years.
Right.
And you know, I don't know. I hard to know how he's feeling about this. But yeah, it's unfortunate he hasn't gotten an opportunity, but I don't see how he could have, right? I don't think he was better than everybody that had in there. And it's going to be interesting how that camp goes for the defensemen too, because they have Magna in there as well, right? And so I don't know why the Kraken would have 8 defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't anticipate that this season as well. So
yeah, they did it last year though.
Did they?
Yeah, because they had Fleury was an extra, and well, Magna
after the trade in February.
Yeah, but didn't they carry, who am I thinking of?
Well, they had Olofsson for a bit.
Olofsson
and Fleury, but that was when Schultz was hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, for at least part of the year they did, but that was after the trade deadline. Yeah,
no, it wasn't the trade. It was a month before the trade deadline. Right. To be fair, so to your point, like a little bit more than just the end of the season.
Yeah. So. Anyway, if they did carry an 8th defenseman and for the whole season and we're just being dumb-dumbs, feel free to yell at us. But yeah, that it's interesting. I think watching how that one plays out, watching how the last forward spot plays out, I'm still not convinced they're done. And I think we'll probably have a question or two about that in the mailbag coming up. But other signing is Tucker Robertson signs his entry-level contract with the Kraken. Robertson is a 4th-round selection from the 2022 draft, part of the Peterborough Petes team that won the Memorial Cup.
And I thought he looked awesome in the playoffs when I was watching those games, and he had an outstanding year in the OHL. So
he was one of the last guys, right? Or was he the last guy from like the top 4?
The only people that haven't signed
from like the not this past season,
the 2022 draft, is Tyson Jugnauth.
Okay, but
he's in college.
He plays for Wisconsin, so he wouldn't be eligible. Or I mean, he could sign, but then he gives up his eligibility.
And Barrett Hall,
who is. He was in high school when they drafted him, so he's got some runway.
And he played in Kelowna. He's going to St. Cloud next season.
Uh-huh. So same situation with him.
And Kyle Jackson, who was a 7th rounder, and he was at camp.
Right.
And he's in the OHL. So he played with Ty Nelson at the battalion, North Bay Battalion. So Kyle Jackson is an interesting one because he was selected in 2022 as a re-entry, which is the second year eligibility for the draft. So he is actually 20 and eligible to play the AHL, but they haven't signed him, so he won't play there. So he's somebody to keep an eye on, but I think they need to sign him by the end of this season, otherwise they lose him.
Are they getting close to their contract max too? Is that something they need to start thinking about?
That I have not looked at yet. I think last time I checked, they were all relatively close, and there's some weird rule, like if the guy's still playing in the CHL, it doesn't count against your number.
Okay.
So there's a couple of those scenarios.
Okay, so that was good analysis, I guess. old friend signing, Carson Kuhlman signs with the Islanders for 1 year. It's a 2-way deal, so he could theoretically play some time in the AHL this year. But friend of the pod.
I love Carson Coolman.
He was such a nice guy.
I know. He's a really nice guy.
I loved him in the very, very brief time that he was with the Kraken. Yeah, I was a big fan. And then there's a big trade, Alex DeBrincat going to the Detroit Red Wings. So for those of us that suggested he could be a fit for the Kraken, that's me. Earlier in the
still
in
could
the off
be a
season,
fit, for all we know,
he is going to the Detroit Red Wings, and he re-signed for a pretty big contract. So Red Wings have made some moves this offseason again. They kind of did that last year too. They're not at the cap, but they're kind of getting closer to it, which is interesting. They're starting to look like more of a, I don't want to call them a contender. They're looking more like a playoff team, I think, than they did a few months ago. But they got a long way to go.
Yeah, I don't. It to me, we said that last year. So
I know.
No, and
I
I'm know. Not. No, I'm just saying, like,
but
margin is so small to be in or out,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
I think we're just a delay. Like, we have a tape delay on our predictions for teams that look like they've taken that step to be playoff teams. Because I think we predicted that the Devils had jumped into being a playoff team, not this past year, but the year before. And then they absolutely stunk, right? So then the following off season, we were like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really trust any of the moves they made or whatever. And sure enough, they were like
and I think
really good
this year.
We talked
about Philly. No, that seems to be way delayed.
Yeah. But they changed their orange color though. So that could be a big step this season. But so my point though is because we said that the Devils took that big step two summers ago and then this year they were really good. We said that about Detroit last summer. This year they stunk. So now you would think that this next year they'll be good, right?
I follow the logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't agree with it?
I just need to take an inventory of all the teams and figure out who's in, who's out, kind of thing.
All right. Inventory like against one another. Right.
Yeah, and just kind of say what changes have been made.
Yeah. And there were a lot across the league.
There were.
All right.
I don't know.
The jury is still out on Detroit. Maybe we'll let them play their games and then find out if they're going to make the playoffs, and then we can start predicting.
April.
That's a good idea. We'll look super smart if we do it that way.
Preseason. I'm willing to commit preseason.
Preseason?
Who the teams are in and out.
Did you think, and we definitely talked about this with Everett, because this was where the Kraken Nasty Westy thing came from. Because it started in preseason, where they were like really good, or they looked really good in preseason. And we're like, you can't put too much stock in this, but the Kraken look really good, right? Like, do you think you can actually get a feel from watching a team in preseason if they're good?
Probably not, because more times than not, you're not seeing the full squad. And
on either
both sides.
Yeah. Okay. But you're still going to use preseason as your gauge for when.
No, that's the time frame. Not so much I'm using the preseason. That's
so you're not using that as data points. Yeah. You want enough time to evaluate what's happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Glad we cleared that up. That was
good
important.
Start to this one. Yeah.
What do you mean? We're like halfway through the episode at this point. All right. Let's get into our mailbag. We're going to start with Twitter questions, and then we're going to migrate over to Discord. And so I'm going to ask the Twitter questions. John, you get the first opportunity to respond to the Twitter questions. And
first right of refusal.
First right. What does that mean? You use that often, and I don't know what that means.
It means if somebody's putting an offer on something, you have the right to match it, essentially. You're the right, first right to refusal.
So I don't know if that actually works in this context.
I don't want to answer this one.
Okay.
And
you have the first opportunity to refuse it.
Yeah.
So the first right of refusal.
Yeah.
I get it. Mark Davis at Glib Bastard.
Just the says, Raider owner?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I think, I heard he loves P.F. Chang's. Isn't that true?
I don't know. That would check out. That wouldn't surprise me.
Great haircut on him, Mark Davis. Sorry to this Mark Davis, by the way. Really sorry. After LT, I'm sure he gets that all the time, right?
I'm sure he loves it.
It's like super common name. Like, I'm sure there's a million people named Mark Davis. After LTIR candidates, the two teams still negative in salary cap hit are Toronto and Pittsburgh. Any obvious targets where GMRF, that would be general manager Ron Francis, could use weaponized cap space to improve the Kraken from those teams? John, Pittsburgh and Toronto.
I mean, Jake Guentzel's a candidate because he becomes a UFA next year. That would be ideal, obviously.
That would be a nice one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be awesome. But I really don't think, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but Vince Dunn has not re-signed.
We do have a Vince Dunn question coming up, so put a pin in that.
But my point is, I don't anticipate a lot of room to go too crazy with a trade proposal. So that's why I don't think it's likely that there's a scenario where they go after those two teams in particular. Toronto, I think, is going to be fine because they're going to figure a way with Murray to get rid of him in some capacity. So. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
What do you, I mean, you can answer this too, right?
So, I mean, well, we talked about Willie Nylander last week, which I think would be super fun, and maybe Toivu Teravainen from Carolina because they're flirting with that spot as well. I love the Jake Guentzel point. But now to your point, right? Vince Dunn, if you were to think about like where he's going to land after bringing in Belmar and Yamamoto, the Kraken are down to $9 million in cap space, which sounds like a lot, but I mean, Vince Dunn is probably going to be in like the $7 to $8 million range, wouldn't you think? And he takes up a lot of that space.
I'm thinking eight. Yeah. And I thought Borgen around two. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm undervaluing the market right now. So,
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they don't have the room to do something like that. And if you're going to make a trade for one of those guys that's got a high salary now and is going to need a huge salary to extend them, now, obviously, the cap goes up next year. There's some stuff coming off the books next year. But also then you have Matty Beniers you would need to re-up. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they can make all that work if they were to bring in one of those bigger numbers. And then you think like, well, you got to trade somebody off of the roster to make the space. But why would Pittsburgh or Toronto take somebody back that requires cap dollars?
Yeah, they need a lot off the cap.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. So. Next one, the Pacific Division is going to be a dogfight this year. Which players need to step up for the Kraken to compete with the Golden Knights, Kings, and Oilers?
You know, I'm trying to think who, because we'll maybe get into this as well, that I'm not sure the team has materially improved and maybe even taken a step back, theoretically. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at how things could get better, Beniers.
Yeah.
Could have a better year. I think Bjorkstrand.
Which he was very good, but
he was good.
He's
going to continue
to grow.
He's going to be a year older, so he should be better. Mm-hmm. I think Bjorkstrand has the capability of contributing a little bit more because remember the first part of the season he was so snake bit?
Yeah.
I mean, his shooting percentage was like 5% and he's never shot like below 9 in a season. So I think he's got capability to kind of improve, even though I thought he had a great year. And then a full healthy and operational.
I was going to go with Burakovsky, yeah, right? So. I'm going to go with Burakovsky by just not injuring his groin. Yeah. How's that? So how's that for a step? Yeah. I'll throw one at you too. It's kind of a cheat because he wasn't on the team this past year, but what about Yamamoto, right? Like, I think there's an opportunity for Yamamoto to kind of find himself again in Seattle, a little bit out of the spotlight compared to what he was in Edmonton, and I think he was a little banged up too. So maybe they'll give him a little bit more opportunity as opposed to just dishing off to the stars there.
Yeah, I agree. I think he, in a way, is kind of a wash for Sprong.
Yeah, that's right.
And he could be better, but he could be a little, you know, less than
less
what Sprong
offensive could. Production
yeah.
potentially.
But I think that I see it as kind of a wash, even though maybe even he's got potential for more upside too.
Yeah. Ahab Juan the Baker says, we keep talking about our competitive window approaching. A lot of our current core goes to UFA in the next 2 years. Do we envision that window being before or after those contracts expire? Should we be seeing more urgency to improve now while this team is intact?
A lot to unpack there. I do not think this is a core unit you think you can push your chips in. Mm-hmm. I think they can compete and they can surprise some people. And then keep in mind some of those expiring UFAs, you know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, Gord, Eberle, Schwartz is probably in there.
Yeah, players that come off the books after 23-24 are Jordan Eberle, Alex Wennberg, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Justin Schultz, Jacob Megna, Chris Drieger. Those are all UFAs
and
after
Gord
the season.
Is the following year, right?
Yeah, and then there's a handful of RFAs
so,
as well. But.
Right, so you can re-sign them too, right? Yeah. Like if Eberle's happy here and you think you can get a good deal for Eberle, you re-sign him, plain and simple. I think we still need a couple more years to see what our drafted prospects can deliver to think about pushing our chips in. Because Riker is going to be a good defenseman, but I still think he's another year away from, and he will be a good defenseman after a couple of years in the NHL. And hopefully Shane Wright works out too, right? And all of a sudden, if you have Beniers, Shane Wright, I mean, maybe Riker Evans in their prime, and hopefully some other pieces around that, Chalet, those guys, hopefully somebody pans out. That's somebody we're not counting on to be an excellent hockey player. So
Ahab also asks, what does the future hold for Sound of Hockey? Do you guys have any plans to monetize Sound of Hockey? I'd be happy to contribute to your coverage. That's very nice.
Let's put a pin in that. I mean, you know, we've I don't know how much we want to share here, but we've talked about it, and I think we'll probably figure something out later this summer, mm-hmm. Ways that people can contribute. I mean, the big thing is we always want to keep it accessible to everybody, and ideally there's no paywall behind things, so that means people will be getting the content for free, but also hopefully we can get some people to help out as well, people that aren't capable of paying. So at least that's my 2 cents. Who knows what'll shake out. Darren, do you have any perspective on that?
No, that was a good 2 cents, was a good pun there. No, I just think we've always kind of taken the approach through our several years of doing this of just continuing to build it, the community. And we kind of have figured like, well, eventually it'll come when it's right. But yeah, I mean, I think we're probably moving towards giving folks an opportunity
and the real thing,
a little bit if they want to.
And we want to make it sustainable because it's like, hopefully people understand this. We actually put a lot of effort, a lot of work, you in particular, then, and sometimes that's not capable without kind of like having some, it's not so much compensation, just kind of offsetting kind of other costs involved. So anyway, we'll keep you posted.
But as far as what the future holds, I don't see any massive changes in terms of the type of content we're delivering over the next couple of years.
True.
Right. Samuel Fleming, does John see the announcement about the Lake Tahoe potentially opening the door to the Kraken having their own ECHL affiliate? This is referencing news that there's an ECHL team coming to the Lake Tahoe area, reportedly.
No, it's confirmed.
It's
by
confirmed.
The ECHL.
Confirmed as expansion. Reported.
As reported. As released by the ECHL Twitter account.
What's your source?
source? Question mark? Well, I think you said, Darren, they already have an affiliate, but they tend to change affiliates, right? They've, in 2 years, they've had two different ECHL affiliates.
Currently is the Kansas City Mavericks.
Is it for next year? Do we know?
I think it is. I haven't heard otherwise.
I don't know. I don't know either. Yeah. So, I don't think it really matters where your affiliate is. I think maybe it's nice that it's close. Right? And if you know the ECHL landscape, there's a team in Idaho and Utah, and then this Tahoe team will be added the 2024-25 season. So, I mean, maybe the Kraken get one of those as an affiliate, or they're just happy with Kansas City because it's an easy flight versus Tahoe, which isn't super easy to get out of, even though it's right down, you know, it's 45 minutes away from Reno. So,
What would be their team name? They haven't announced that yet, right?
The Lakers.
Have they announced that?
No, they haven't.
Oh, that's just what you think it should be?
And you know the Tim Tebow's Tahoe, involved in it. We might as well reveal that,
the
too.
The Tahoe Tim Tebow's. The Tim Tebow and Tahoe.
Well, it is South Lake Tahoe, so it is a kind of gambling area.
Mm-hmm. The Tahoe will be a nice alliteration that's gambling related. The Tahoe.
Tahoe.
Top Hats.
That's what I was thinking for some reason.
That's not even gambling related.
I don't know why. Yeah.
The Tahoe Tilt. I don't know.
Tilt, that's pinball, but
we'll keep working on it. Do we need to start this is from the Loosed Kraken. Do we need to start a GoFundMe for Cale Fleury and Jacob Megna Dumoulin signing was a clear vote of no confidence? Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it no confidence, but I guess that is kind of, right? I mean, Jacob Megna, if they had confidence in him, they probably wouldn't have signed a depth left defenseman, right? They would have figured that he would just slide in to replace Carson Soucy. So I guess by signing Dumoulin, which effectively, I think Dumoulin's guaranteed that third spot in the left side.
I would think so, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I guess it is kind of a, I don't know if we need to start a GoFundMe because
I think
both
they're
going to
be okay. I think they're both on one way.
Fine, but... I don't think I'm worried about them.
I mean, maybe
financially.
I can invite him out to my beer league every once in a while if he needs to get some game action, but I'm pretty sure that's not legal either.
Yeah, maybe. We'd have to look into that, see if they'd be
okay,
allowed.
Okay, let's check that out.
Do you think not legal for NHL or for your Kraken League?
NHL.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I feel like we could probably make it work with the Kraken League, but... The Sean McGee says, do you see any potential reason why this team won't make the playoffs again next year? I kind of do, but I could be overthinking it. Yeah, I think there's a total possibility that they regress.
I thought I had first right of refusal.
I'm sorry. I'm so
kidding.
Sorry.
Just
I'm
go
so
ahead.
Sorry. No,
go
no,
ahead.
No. You got it. Jump
go
in.
Ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead. I think it's totally possible that they miss the playoffs this year, which would be a huge disappointment. Last year, they were playing with the benefit of just having no expectations on them. Nobody thought they were going to do anything last season, and they came out and just played loose, played comfortably, and they they showed that they're better than they were in year one. This year, they're going to have some expectations, I think. I think people are going to be, nobody's going to be caught by surprise by them. I think they're going to get their best from opposing teams on a lot of nights, and I think it's going to be a lot tougher. And a lot of people had career years last year, and sometimes when that happens all at the same time, they also all regress all at the same time. So I think it's totally possible that they miss the playoffs. It would be a huge disappointment, I think, but I think it's possible.
I fundamentally agree with everything you said.
But
I think they're squarely at least the top four in the Pacific.
Yeah, because San Jose is still going to stink. Anaheim is still going to stink.
Vancouver's going to stink.
I think they're probably going to stink.
And Calgary is kind of a question mark. Like sometimes I think
They're kind of the opposite, right? Like they had a terrible season. And so you're kind of like, oh, well, maybe they go back to the regress back to the mean. But haven't they like lost all their players or they're all threatening to leave at the same time? New coach, which can sometimes help.
I just think, you know, there's still enough core components to make them competitive.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is there's two or three teams per conference that turn over. And so who do you expect them to be? And Seattle was technically on the bottom half and is a likely candidate without kind of such a significant upgrade. Now, again, Beniers could play better. He's played great, but he could play better. And, you know, maybe Grubauer and Decord play really well.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
Or Grubauer and Driedger. Let's not assume things here. But yeah, I am hopeful. That's a good point that you brought that up. I am hopeful that Grubauer kind of unlocked something in the playoffs. Like, I think, you know, we talked about a long time ago that his first season in Colorado was not good.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden he kind of figured it out and it was good. I'm hopeful that we went through that in season one with Grubauer. He's turned it around kind of halfway through season two and really figured it out in the playoffs. Yeah. And now we'll have good Grubauer moving forward. That's my hope. But that's a great point. Sydney Dibbing or Dibing, I'm not sure how I pronounce that last name. Apologies. Should we worry at all yet about Dunn not being signed? So here we're taking that pin out. I've seen some speculation about a trade happening instead since it's taking so long. I don't think we have to worry about that yet. You get the right.
Yeah, that's all right. I wouldn't be worried about it. I mean, this is just how it goes.
Yeah.
These things go to sometimes the last minute, like days before the arbitration hearing. Ideally, it doesn't get to arbitration.
Yeah.
I mean, it can still get to arbitration. Things are okay or, you know, get settled there. But usually there's damage done and it doesn't really end well for either party, at least for that year.
Yeah. So I think if they end up going through the full arbitration hearing and he gets awarded a one-year deal, I would be a little worried at that point about a trade.
Yeah.
You know, because then both parties are probably a little unhappy that they went through all of it. They'd crap on each other because that's just how arbitration works. And then he's on a one-year expiring deal. So you would think that.
But the reality is it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Right. And if the Kraken deem it better to trade him given the salary. I mean, keep in mind he had a career year last year.
He had a great season, right?
Yeah.
And then the year before
he was fine.
Yeah.
But not as good.
If you are ever going to sell.
Kind of. But it's, you know, with 1 year, who can afford him? It's kind of a tricky year to trade him.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's a possibility. But I'm not concerned. But I'm also not naive to think it can't happen.
The roster is basically filled. Are you happy with the roster as constructed? I think I'm on record as saying I would like for them to do one more thing at the top of the roster. But now that we talked through where they're at after Vince Dunn gets signed, I think it's less likely they do something. I'm not thrilled with it because I think that they are about the same or a little worse. I think I've said that a few different places. And
yeah,
so
I'm neutral. I'm kind of with you. I think it's the same, right? I think the Sprong's a wash. Belmar's interesting component, right? Just a depth play, but like that's all they had in that fourth center position anyway, usually. I mean, I loved Geeky, but he just never kind of was able to contribute significantly. So I don't know. I would say I'm fine with it. I just don't want to leverage the future for trying to get into the playoffs, just squeaking into the playoffs. So we'll see. I mean, if they play a depth game again, right, there's no reason they can't compete.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that I'm kind of the mindset that you want to, at this stage, I would like to see continued progress every season, you know? And I just am like, what could they do to get to the next step based on what they have? And I guess it's possible if you come back with the exact same group, they've learned from this past year, they've learned some lessons, and now there's some more expectations. They're going to, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there hasn't been enough of a change at this point to get them to the next step, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Just looking at it on paper.
But theoretically, how do you do that? You get rid of some of your futures.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it be prospects or draft picks. And I'm not of that same mind. So I think it's a good discussion and good dialogue that's probably happening in the offices of the Kraken facility.
Yeah.
Right.
That is what do we have on Twitter? What do we have on Discord?
All right.
Now I get the first right of refusal.
That's right.
And
unless
you can,
I cut you off.
Right, you can cut me off. You have the opportunity to do it twice because I did it twice.
Okay,
so
okay.
You can steal the first right of refusal if you so desire.
Okay, good friend, idiot guru.
Uh-huh.
From Scotland, allegedly. He's
in
put
Scotland.
These questions. He's in Scotland. He lives here.
So he's not from Scotland.
No, he's not from Scotland.
Okay. I knew that, but...
If you were Maddie's agent, would you recommend signing an extension now or waiting another year to see where the cap ends up?
Good question. I would recommend signing it now. That's the trend that we're seeing with these younger players is they sign them kind of a year before their entry-level deal goes up, just so it's not like a distraction or anything like that. I mean, he's a young kid that if he's going to be guaranteed $6-8 million a year for 6 or 7 years, and he can just play without any kind of pressure, knowing that that's coming the year before the following year, I think that that's worth it. And plus, you never know. Like, I mean, sometimes the second season is not a good thing, right? So if you can get your clients signed on a big long-term contract off of 1 year in the NHL, I think you do it.
I think you're spot on. Mm-hmm. He had a great year. He had a good year.
Yeah. I mean, you're capitalizing on a good year. Like, he's coming off of a rookie of the year campaign. I mean, those bridge deals that used to be so common are a little less common now. They're moving towards, hey, we have a young star here. We're going to sign him for a long time and we're going to pay him like he's one of the core members of the team.
And it's important to note, because I think I've seen a little confusion about this, is that he will sign an extension. That contract doesn't kick in till next season.
Right.
So when you're thinking about being cap compliant, you don't have to worry about this season because he's already on a contract. So sometimes I just see some confusion about that. Okay. Idiot guru again.
Still in Scotland.
Still in Scotland. Well, no, and now he's in Iceland.
Oh,
he's actually in transit to Iceland. I don't know if he's in Iceland at this moment. Yeah. I'm reading this, but he will be probably by the time we release the podcast. Is Dumoulin's signing suggestive that Seattle doesn't see Evans as contributing more than a few games next season?
Yes, I think so.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And next season. I think the following season is interesting. And that's why I was kind of asking about the 2-year deal. I was curious why they would have done that because all three of their top guys, in theory, then, assuming that Vince Dunn gets more than a 1-year deal, would still be here.
Yeah.
Right. So then at that point, is he boxed out?
I just think there's, you
variables.
Deal with that problem when it comes.
Yeah.
So, okay. I never know how to say this name. Slonicus. C-L-E-O-N-I-C-U-S.
Cleonicus.
C-L-E? Cleonicus.
C-L-E?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be a Cle sound.
Okay. John, if you were playing on a team with goal songs, what would your goal song be?
Mm.
Darren,
mm-hmm.
If you were playing on a team that played a song after a big save, what would your save song be?
Mm. I have the first right of refusal.
Yeah. You can answer your own question.
My gut reaction is that I would want something really stupid, like a Weird Al song or something. I've mentioned Harvey the Wonder Hamster on this podcast before. Maybe I'd say that. Because you could actually play, it's only like a 30-second song, so you could play the full song.
Yeah.
People would be like, what is that? If I wanted to go a little bit cooler, if it's actually a save song, maybe The Wall by Pink Floyd.
Mm,
I mean,
that's good. Gets
right.
People like amped, I think, a little bit, like,
well,
subtle
like the
amped.
Wall,
because
you're a wall.
I understand.
I always thought Guerrilla Radio was really cool by Rage Against the Machine,
yeah.
The Aw Hell Can't Stop Us Now.
Yeah.
But that's kind of not a great, like, message, because you want him to be stopping.
Okay.
So quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of it from, like, a goalie perspective, too, so...
Yeah.
I've never thought about a save song.
What about your intro song? If you want to just have your intro song.
Intro song. Yeah, probably something Weird Al. Something really, really dumb. Really, really dumb.
Oh, man. Well.
Like, I think about, you know, there's a walk-up song in baseball, or there was a couple years ago, where a guy had Baby Shark as his walk-up, and everyone clapped along, and, like, that was hilarious, right? I was like, that is so freaking cool. I don't know. I got to think about that one a little bit. I feel on the spot on that one.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It's a little tough.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
I want people like dancing and having a good time,
okay.
Which is not really music that I listen to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a challenge for me to come up with one. But like some old school hip hop, like MC Light,
okay.
Kluraka Party. And Joe Jackson has a song called Got the Time. It's a really old song, and I didn't start listening to it as recently, but it's like fun and gets people amped. So I just want it to be fun and people laughing and having a good time. So after a goal.
Okay.
So
it's maybe, you know what would be kind of funny is just like a classical song. Like Beethoven's fifth.
You're almost like mocking the goal song or the save song.
Yeah, because I don't know. I want it to be funny. I want something to be funny.
Like the Leafs. Like their Hall & Oates song.
I think that one, I know not everybody loves that. I know it's a polarizing thing, but
I don't have any opinion over it. But it is kind of funny because it's very odd.
Yeah.
That they're playing the song that most of the players probably weren't even born yet when it came out. So
yeah, it is a little
I can almost guarantee that.
Good question. Definitely got my wheels turning.
I like that one. Michael A. Formerly known as
Krakenbra.
Yeah. Last episode you guys were talking about the team maybe regressing this season. Do you think they are a lock for the playoffs or do you consider them a borderline team? I think we kinda answered this already.
Yeah. I don't consider them a lock for the playoffs.
Yeah. I agree.
But we'll answer this one in April.
Okay. All right. Baz Av Joes, and he's like in he's in England, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe Wales. I don't know.
All right.
Sorry, Baz Av Joes.
Somewhere in the British Islands.
He lives there.
I get a little confused about what's considered Great Britain and what is not. I think Wales is. I think the only one that's not is. Northern Ireland, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it with a lot of confidence.
I bet we just completely offended four people.
And including Baz Av Joes. Baz Av Joes might have been the one that like was watching the games on delay and would listen to the podcasts in sequence.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like months behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his question is, there's some major sport going on worldwide right now. Wimbledon, Tour de France, F1, Rugby Championship in build-up for the real World Cup in September. Hockey should try that sometime. Is there anything that catches your interest to fill your sports fix in the off season? Nope.
Nothing for you?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, definitely. For me, all those things you just mentioned, I think are interesting if I like catch them. I'm not seeking them out anymore. When I was a kid and I didn't have school during the summer, Wimbledon, I loved all the tennis majors, especially. I played tennis in high school too. So.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
The more you know.
I really enjoyed watching tennis growing up. Tour de France, I dabbled with at times, but I never really understood what I was watching. Although there is a Netflix documentary that's similar to the F1 doc that I think I told you about, John, that's really, really good. And it really teaches you a lot about how the strategy works on that, which I thought was quite fascinating and interesting. I guess those are kind of the same word, fascinating and interesting.
Fascinating and interesting.
And interesting, both of those. But yeah, you know, it's interesting though. I'm going to Europe in a couple of days and my wife and I were trying to find a sporting event because we went to a soccer match in Italy last summer and it was like incredible, right? Like unforgettable experience. And there's just nothing. There's like a black hole of sports over the next couple of weeks. So we couldn't find anything interesting. I mean, Wimbledon is going on, but we're missing it by like 24 hours.
And oh, man.
Plus, it's like impossible to get into Wimbledon. So
nothing's impossible.
Yeah. I think I'm intrigued by all of those things. I don't watch any sports. I guess football, I do pay close attention because I play fantasy football. But otherwise, I really don't get like as into things anymore. I really enjoyed baseball growing up. I know, John, you were a big baseball guy too. But even that, I watch during the playoffs if my team is in it. But that's
To be clear, it's not that I don't like these sports. I just don't. And it seems so ridiculous how much time and effort I put into hockey, but I don't have the time and effort to put into these. Like Tour de France, I used to watch. There was like 3 or 4 years I watched every single race.
Uh-huh.
Every single race. And then F1, I enjoy it at times, but I can't sit down for 4 hours and watch something.
Yeah.
And then I kind of don't know a lot of the details. It's like, honestly, there was a time where I watched wrestling. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. This is like post-college.
Probably not on the podcast, but.
Post-college. Mm-hmm. And it was fun because I'd get together with my buddies and we'd watch it and it was ridiculous and fun. But if you can't watch all the show and pay attention to what's going on with the storylines, then it's really hard to enjoy it like you would.
Yeah.
So.
And I just think it's like I don't have the bandwidth to put real passion behind any other sports anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
Do you think it's like, this is an honest question. Do you think it's like, if you're going to get into it, you have to go all in?
I don't think I'm quite wired that way, the way you are.
Okay.
Like you're wired that way. True. Like I can get into other sports But at this stage in my life personally, where I am investing so much of my time into this, the Kraken team, realistically, right? That it's like, it's really hard for me to pay attention to any other sporting thing that's happening. And now the playoffs are over. And like, if a sporting event is on that it's like a team I sort of like if a Twins game happens to be on, because that's who I grew up watching, I'll sit down and watch it. But like, if they lose, I don't have any kind of emotional reaction to that. You gotcha. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same as it used to be. Whereas when I was growing up, if the Twins lost, even though they play 162 games, I'd be like devastated, right?
Ruin your day.
God, yeah. Guys, unbelievable. You know, like, I just don't feel that way about any sport anymore other than hockey. So
yeah.
I just think that's, right. A, I've gotten a little older, and B, I just think that I put so much of my energy into this one thing.
Your emotional kind of inventory or whatever, you're just kind of putting it, it into hockey.
Like my sports emotions have an off season too.
Yeah. You need to recharge them. You're not trying to. Yeah. Exactly. I got you. I think that makes sense. I'd like to hear what listeners think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have some kind of similar vibes. So, okay. Last question from the old Discord. What player do you think is the best kisser? I think we all know the answer.
Oh yeah. One, two, three. Joey DeCord. Oh, just kidding. No, I think it's got to be Cole Lind, right? Got to be Cole Lind.
Yeah. All right. Good question.
And
that,
we only,
that came from Jay Boogie.
Okay. We only think that because he's the goalie kisser after the games, right? I mean, we actually talked about that one off offline before we started, but we can't really give a true opinion about who we actually think is the best kisser, other than we see Cole Lind kissing the goalie on the mask. So, right? Because looking at so-and-so, seems like he'd be a good, you know, I don't think we can give real opinions on that one. So
I would agree. Now Let's end this conversation.
All right. Sounds good. Oh, that's it. That's our mailbag. We're done.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, what a way to end it. Okay. That got weird.
Oh.
Well, in that case, let's move on to our weekly one-timers. Our first weekly one-timer. Turns out Philip Zadina is not a Seattle Kraken. We remember, we were like, do we think? And we both said no, I think. I think we said it wasn't enough of a needle-moving transaction to try to bring him in. He did clear waivers. They then let him go, right?
Yeah.
Because he cleared. Oh,
so they
put him on unconditional waivers then, so that he could leave. So then he became a free agent. He signed a one-year deal with the Sharks.
Yeah, pretty good spot for him and the Sharks, because he's probably going to play up the lineup. And if he does well, Sharks can just flip him at the deadline, mm-hmm. right? So feels like a good fit right there, actually.
Yep. Our next weekly one-timer, Vladimir Tarasenko. We said last week that the rumor was that he was heading towards Carolina, which seems to be true at the time, but then that didn't happen, and now he fired his agent, and now he's still a free agent. So, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like Carolina's still in play, but it's interesting. I don't think that, for people wanting to know, I don't think the Kraken have a spot for him. It just doesn't make sense financially and kind of positionally. I mean, they could make it work if they really needed to make it work. So.
Yeah. Our next weekly one-timer. Patrick Hornquist. Hornquist announces his retirement. 15 seasons with Nashville, Pittsburgh, and Florida. He was the last overall pick in the 2005 NHL entry draft. He got himself a pretty good career.
Yeah,
right?
A pretty good run.
He was that guy that would just like stick himself in front of the net with his gigantic butt and just could not be moved. Made a living doing that.
And two Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh. So
that's right.
Yeah. Pretty nice little career, yeah.
Was he the guy, and I think we talked about it several years ago, where he found out that he was going to Florida from Pittsburgh and he was upset about it and he's kind of like threw his gear outside. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but that's not how it actually went down.
Okay.
That's what people thought.
Right.
He was airing his gear out after playing and he put it on the driveway. You knew that, right?
I think so, but I don't remember. It was years ago. But so he was airing his equipment, not airing his grievances.
Right.
Got it. Our next weekly one-timer, Alain Vigneault, also announces that he's retiring from coaching. He had 19 seasons as a head coach with Montreal, Vancouver, New York Rangers, and Philadelphia Flyers, 1,363 games as a head coach. I always thought he was a really good coach. He took multiple teams to the Stanley Cup final. It seemed like if he was behind the bench, his team was going to have a chance for a deep run, but he never won the cup.
And it's supposedly he's got a winning record in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
And for a coach that has not won won the Stanley Cup, that's like saying something because like a lot of people lose, right?
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
So, they was specific about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder if he's still going to kind of be involved in some capacity. I don't know if that's me reading more into it. The articles I read about it didn't imply that.
Going the way of Barry Trotz, perhaps.
Maybe.
Is what you're saying.
Maybe.
Yeah. Big gum chewer. We talked about that when he chews, his head really changes shape. Right, he's got those big temples that flare out. Also, one of my favorite Alain Vigneault moments was Vern Fiddler. Oh my gosh, do you remember that video where he lumbers around making fun of somebody,
and he's giggling, and he can't,
and Vigneault can't stop himself, and he's like trying to hide behind his lineup card, but he's like cry laughing on the bench. And
that's what I think of him every time.
Yeah,
right.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah, that is great.
NHL blooper.
Yeah.
Our next weekly one timer, friend of the pod John Robleski is continuing his tenure as the head coach of the U.S. women's national team through the 2026 Winter Olympics. So. That's just, a pretty nice job security, huh? Right. Yeah, we're just going to keep you. I guess that's what they do with contracts.
But. What's interesting, I didn't even think about this. So mm-hmm. we interviewed him at the 2019 NHL entry draft.
Yeah.
And he was the coach of the NTTP.
I think you said it sort of right there. But
okay, he was.
I think you said NTTP.
NDTP.
National Team Development. It's NTDP.
NTDP.
Right.
The program, as
the
they
program.
Say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The program.
Okay, the program.
Ooh, did you ever see the movie The Program?
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
I liked it. I liked
great
that.
Movie.
Yeah.
Very early 90s.
Yeah. Early 90s sports. Yeah. But do you know who was on that team? I mean, there was a lot of
NTDP?
People on that team.
Yeah. Let's see.
That was coached by?
John Robleski?
Yeah.
On the Kraken? Is that what you're getting
no.
at? Matt Boldy. I remember that one.
Okay. I'll stop you right there.
Cole Caulfield, Trevor Zegras.
Cam York.
Ah.
So
the
we're
full circle
we're
bookending
reference.
This.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, do we just skip tweets of the week? You don't have one on the show notes.
Go ahead. You got to go.
All right. I'm going to give one. It's actually not a hockey tweet at all, but I thought, you know, last week was 4th of July and this made me laugh really hard. This guy named James Medlock tweets out a graph showing how many hospital visits as related to fireworks injuries there are by month. So it says number of fireworks related hospital visits by month. Every month is under 2,000 visits, with January has 1,500, June has 1,800 as people are kind of like ramping up to 4th of July. Then July has 15,500 hospital visits because of fireworks. And then that same guy, James Medlock, retweeted it and said, we should really move Independence Day to August because July is clearly a dangerous time to shoot off fireworks.
That's pretty good.
It's so stupid.
It's pretty good, though.
Oh, it made me laugh.
Oh, man.
Man, when are we going to start Threads of the Week, huh?
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, one day.
And I think the problem I have with Threads is there's a bunch of nonsense in there that I can't, I have zero desire
That's
to follow.
The issue. We can't, like, filter through it yet. Like, it's...
No.
Right now, it's basically just throwing a bunch of junk at us to see if we like any of it.
And, like, other people like this, you must like it, too. I'm like, no, I do not like that.
Right.
So.
Do you think it works the same way as, like, with... I know I've noticed on, like, scrolling through Instagram, which I don't really post on Instagram, but I at least watch videos on Instagram where, like, if you watch something for more than 4 seconds, then all of a sudden that's all you see. You know what I mean?
It registers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, well, I don't think I like it then. I'm off.
Well,
threads.
I mean, it's just because they don't have data, right? Yeah. They don't have enough sample right now. But I would like to just look at people I follow. That's how I look at Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think other people do
sometimes,
for you.
I don't know. Yeah. But Twitter's the same way. Like every now and then you'll like click on something that you think is interesting. And then all of a sudden that's all that whole feed is. And you're like, I don't want to learn about this.
Yeah, I just don't even look at that feed though.
All right. Well, we've gotten off the rails here. Who knew? Hey, we made it an hour. How about that? Basically an hour-long episode. This has been fun. Thanks, everybody, for the mailbag.
Questions.
Yeah, awesome questions. That's always a good time. Great way to interact with folks. You know what's another great way to interact with us is by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we will read it on the next show. We're a little unclear on if we're going to have a show next week because of my aforementioned trip, so we might do it. We might not. We'll see what kind of things happen. I will travel with my microphone just in case.
And I will be available to talk into my microphone.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah. But either way, subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify. Oh, yeah, Stitcher. Days are numbered.
Yeah.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We will read it whenever we have another show. And we will talk to you all relatively soon.
Relatively.
For episode 247. Cheers.